presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Wonderful to see you all here this morning. Appreciate you coming. A long time ago, 1993, I was working for a container company. We made shipping containers or rail containers, the big boxes you see on the freight trains. We used to repair them and build them and modify them. Back then, before the GST, it was cheaper to modify something than to build new, because if you built new, you paid sales tax on it, whereas if you modified a piece of rubbish, you didn't have to pay sales tax on it. So everyone was getting all these things rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt. And we had a particular job run that we had to do, and we were a bit behind on it. So we had the first five containers that had to get to Melbourne, because we'd booked slots on the train for them to travel over there at the special price. They went to Melbourne without being finished. So me and two apprentices got sent over to Melbourne to finish them off. So we took a little truck with all the parts and all the welders, and we spent the weekend, or about 4 or 5 days over there, finishing these things off. So we put up in a hotel, which was great. We'd get up in the morning, jump in the little truck, drive down to the, or via McDonald's to grab a couple of those, and we'd have to get let. We're working inside the rail yard, so security would have to let us in. It was a real hassle for us to get out for lunch, so we'd have, you know, sort of two or three of those, and that would have to see us through till the evening. And that was fine, but on the last day, we'd finished up, we packed all the stuff in the truck, we took the truck back to the hotel, and in the morning we wanted to get going early in the morning. And we were thinking, well, we don't really want to have to drive through to the McDonald's, because it was in a bit of an awkward location and it wasn't in the direction we wanted to go, and we wanted to get out of town before the traffic. So we sort of inquired at the hotel lobby and said, you know, look, do you guys do a breakfast in the morning that we can sort of eat? And they said, what do you mean? Haven't you been eating breakfast? I said, what do you mean we haven't been eating? She said, well, your boss paid for the full breakfast buffet for you. I said, what? She said, yeah. So they paid for this full buffet breakfast. And we're thinking, what? We missed all that food. We could have eaten like, you know, gluttonous people. But we missed out on it. We missed out on it. And the reason why that we missed out was because it was something we were entitled to, but we didn't know we were entitled to. Someone had paid for something for us, but we didn't know that. So we didn't take advantage of those benefits. And the word can be a bit like that sometimes, or should I say our Christian life can be a bit like that sometimes. There are lots of things in the word that are benefits for us, but we perhaps haven't read them or haven't taken notice of them. We may have forgotten them. But just because we forget about them or we're not aware of them doesn't mean to say that we're not entitled to those benefits. And we've been going through the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is full of benefits for us. As Christians, we can forget that Jesus paid the price for us. We live under the spirit of the law of life. Okay? The spirit of life is the new covenant. And the new covenant was established through Jesus. His sacrifice on the cross did away with the old covenant, the covenant of sin and death, and brought us into a new covenant. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's a very powerful scripture, start of chapter 8. And I want to focus on this for a moment. Made free from the law of sin and death. Through Christ, We're liberated from the condemnation of sin. Death is the ultimate consequence of sin. Death and separation from God. Jesus worked on our behalf to break the chains that once bound us. In relationship with God, our prime purpose, we are meant to live in relationship with God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We need to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is given to us. We ask Jesus into our life, accept him as our Lord and Saviour. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to speak with us, to lead us. The Spirit of God is not a spirit of slavery. In the Spirit, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. God makes us sons and daughters. Now, he doesn't make us slaves. He doesn't make us apprentices. He doesn't make us workers. He makes us sons and daughters. If we are sons and daughters of God, there must be some entitlements with that. Now, I'm sure we can look at the news stories around the place and we see, you know, all the entitlements of the royal families and, you know, entitlements of politicians and all that sort of thing, you know. It's called entitlements because they are entitled to those things. The kingdom of God entitles us to things. We're entitled to his protection. We're entitled to his provision. We're entitled to the healing that he gives us. These are our entitlements. This is part of the contract that God has made with us. As we ask him into our life, we are adopted as children, as sons. Now, we get the benefits of that adoption. But you look at the other side of things, there's the responsibility of God to provide for us. In the same way that we are legally responsible to care for our children, to look after them, to feed them, make sure they grow well, make sure they become the people they're meant to be, this is what God does for us. It's God's responsibility in our lives. It's part of that covenant. It's part of that Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a critical part in that because the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Right? When we find the Lord, the Holy Spirit is put within us. And the Holy Spirit is the Word of God within us. It's what speaks to us. It's how he communicates with us. This section in Romans 8, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Right? There's a deep communication within us. Our Spirit knows what we need. The Holy Spirit in our life, we can listen to what the Holy Spirit says to us. But it's also a two-way street. The communication goes both directions. By the Spirit, we can communicate with God at the most instinctive level. How often do you hear of people in a life-threatening situation? They just cry out to God. Atheists cry out to God all the time because their spirit inside them knows God. Their spirit knows what they're meant to be doing with their life. And in those times of distress and despair, our spirits just naturally call out for God. Verse 26 speaks about a groaning, groanings which cannot be uttered. Have there been times in your life when you've been so distressed you just can't put words together? You don't know what to pray? Verse 27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I read that and it seemed a little bit, it didn't seem very clear, and I did a little bit of looking up on it, and I came up with this set of words. It says, "The Father understands the Spirit's intercession for believers." Okay, so the Spirit is interceding to God for us, even though we may not audibly understand it. The Spirit prays in harmony with God's will. Now, the beautiful thing about us seeking the Spirit when we are praying is that we don't end up praying for the wrong things. Sometimes we feel like we want certain things in our life, and we tell God all the big wish list. These are the things I want. But are they the things he wants for us? Are they the things that are going to benefit us? So through praying in the Spirit, we start to ask for the things that will benefit us and that are good for us. The Spirit prays in harmony with God's will. So whenever we need assistance, God himself, through the Spirit, comes to our aid. Now, the whole praying in the Spirit can be a term that we use speaking in tongues. And that can and has been a very confusing thing for some people. And I'm not going to go into depth on that this morning, but speaking in tongues is a prayer language that we can all have. We may not have the evidence of it. Speaking in tongues does not mean that you, if you don't have speaking in tongues, does not mean that you do not have salvation. If we do not have actual evidence of speaking in tongues, that does not mean that the Spirit cannot pray on our behalf. We set aside time to spend with God and open ourselves up and give our Spirit permission to intercede on our behalf. We don't waste our time praying for things that he's not going to give us. The scriptures say that God won't give us bad things. If we ask for a fish, he won't give us a stone. Sorry, serpent perhaps. Rock, bread and rock. Yeah, anyway. But you know, God only wants to give us good things, same as we want to give our children good things. So when we pray, sometimes we need to quieten ourselves down, quieten our mind down, and give our spirit a chance. Sometimes when we pray, perhaps we need to just be in quietness, just open ourselves up to God and give him a chance to say a few words. In the same way that I missed out on that buffet breakfast, I guess I'm still a little bit bitter over it. we can miss out on living the fullness of God. And it's about understanding what our entitlements are. The book of Romans is a beautiful book. The whole book's just amazing. If you read through chapter 8 yourself at a later date and just read through it slowly, it talks about the Holy Spirit and its purpose in our life. It talks about the entitlements we have. It's not about teaching rules. It's not about me standing up here and giving you a list of these are the 10 steps to achieve this. It's not about, you know, I need to spend an hour in worship every day, or I need to be on my knees, because that would be works, and works just don't work, right? See, we've been saved from works. Works and doing things to achieve things is Old Testament, okay? We live in freedom and grace, right? So what we do things out of love. We do things for our parents because we love them. Our parents do things for us because they love us. So everything we need to do needs to be done out of love. And we have that relationship, as I talked about last week, through faith. Faith gives us the righteousness to stand before God, to be adopted by God. When we lay our motives and plans down, we let the Spirit work through us. I think life is very busy at the moment for all of us, and I think we don't need to waste time doing things that aren't effective. We need to be finding out exactly what God wants for each of us in our lives and work on that. Let's talk to him about his plan for us. Because when we're working in his plan, life gets a lot easier. And do we want to do it the hard way or the easy way? Well, we might as well do it the easy way. We might as well spend some time with God and seek him. Now, talking about the Holy Spirit and this sort of thing is, you know, you might not fully understand that, and that's fine, because we're all at different stages in our life. If you don't know about something, read the Word. Talk to people around you, the whole family. I mean, if God is our Father and we're adopted children, we're all brothers and sisters. Why not look to others for some help? We're all here to help each other. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. It's a beautiful verse. Talks about God generously providing for his children. And that's based on when we seek him and we live in alignment with his ways. There are references in Romans about talking about walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And if I remember I think it's Greek, patapaios is talks about there, and it talks about marching. It's like soldiers that are marching. They're walking in unison, left, right, left, right. And it's about being in step with the Holy Spirit. Not walking at our own pace, not doing things by ourselves, but it's about walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can walk in step with the Holy Spirit is by communicating, by looking to for guidance, by looking, you know, watching what's happening and following, staying in step with that. Our relationship with God is up to us. Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. He won't kick the door down, but he waits for us to invite him. This week, I'd love us to just seek him a little bit, to look to him, just consciously spend some time just listening for his word.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.